I like music almost as much as I like breathing and the color orange, which is a lot. Music is a huge component of our culture, so let's talk about it. Trigger warning. This is Caffeinated Christianity. I'm telling you what, man, Easter's almost here. I'm fired up because Easter is phenomenal. I'm ready to get after it, wear my springy colors, wear a blazer to church. That's the only time that sentence didn't even start off right. Wear a blazer to church. The only time of year that I do it when I'm not preaching, because I preach like, you know, here lately, it's been like once every few months. That's not really that important. I'm just excited that it's almost Easter, because Easter is the greatest holiday. It is significantly better than Christmas, and the only thing Thanksgiving has on it is maybe the food's a little better. Next week, we're going to do an episode about Easter, as a matter of fact, because I've got a lot of things I want to share and get fired up about. So, fired up in a good way, not a bad way. Anyways, I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee, as you remember, if you've ever heard this, is black, and as the opinions, as you could have guessed, are unqualified. What are we talking about today, Cooper? Well, I'm glad you asked. Today, we're talking about music. First, the verse of the episode. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So let's go ahead and grab our swimming trunks, because we're about to dive into this bad boy. I'm excited. Let's talk about it. Music. First, let's go ahead and establish a few things. The Bible talks about music literally all the time. Psalm 150, verse 2. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Exodus 15, Moses and the Israelites sing a song of victory to the Lord after they've come off the Exodus, don't know the correct preposition to use there. Psalm 150, verse 4, praise him with tambourine and dance, for all you Baptists out there, and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. We know King David was a musician. We know most of the Psalms are essentially songs. Jesus and the disciples sang at the end of the Passover meal at the Last Supper, or maybe it was before or something. They sang at the Last Supper. Music is a massive part of the Bible. And there's no denying that music is a massive part of our own personal lives. I mean, let's be honest. I just said that twice in two sentences. Everyone now has a Spotify, an Apple Music account, an Amazon Music account, Google Play. You know, if you're one of the elect, you have Apple Music. If you're a nominal Christian, you have Spotify. If you are an atheist, I'm just playing. That's terrible. I'm full disclosure. Most of the reason I was an Apple Music guy before anything else was because I had so much money invested in iTunes. It would have been a bad financial decision to go for Spotify, because I would have had two apps loaded with music. Why not go for just one app where I keep all my music? That made more sense to me. And people always pitch me you can get Hulu with it too. Well, I don't watch Hulu, so that's not enticing. Sorry, I didn't mean to get mad there. My point being, everyone has a streaming service now, because streaming music has just exploded in the last couple years. So everybody streams now. Everybody's got music. I personally have over 2,300 songs in my library. And I don't know whether to say that's a lot or not. Is that a lot? I have no idea. Let me know. It seems like it's a lot, but I mean, I really don't truly know. Music has a huge impact in our culture. I mean, how many conversations do you have about music? How much of your activities are done with music? I mean, how many churches start with music? Like all of them, basically? Music is huge. Music is a huge part of culture in America, in the world, really. A stat from a website called Statista or Statista. It's Stat, I-S-T-A. Statista, I have no idea. Music generated $20 billion in revenue last year. That's incredible. in case you weren't aware of the currency measuring system in the United States, $20 billion is a ton of money. That's a lot of money that music alone and its counterparts generated last year. That's a ton. And that's all good and well. Music is impactful. We've pretty much established that credible fact. But, as is the theme of even this podcast series, what does the Bible say about how to use music? Well, a couple things. First off, the Bible repeatedly uses music in the context of worship, and the kicker is, for a Christian, everything is worship. Worship is essentially praising and glorifying Christ, and as a Christian, your life is meant to praise and glorify Christ, so everything for you is worship. That's kind of the, I'm not going to lie and say it's every use of music in the Bible, but I would say it's like the almost overwhelming majority of uses of music in the Bible is to worship, or a call to worship. And here's kind of a side note. God doesn't care about genres. He cares about content. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God doesn't care if it's Red or, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman. God doesn't care if it's the Gaithers or if it's In Christ Alone. God doesn't care if it's Lecrae or if it's Hillsong Young and Free. It's all about the content. It's all about what you're actually listening to. It's all about, does this reflect Christ? Like I said, is your litmus test for everything. Could I share the gospel in light of this, you know, of this thing? Okay. Let me give you a quick anecdotal story on this for me personally. So if you would have asked me about 25 minutes ago, if you would have said, Cooper, how do you feel about secular rap music? I would have said something to the effect of, I listen to it enough to be able to give an informed opinion, but I don't listen to it consistently because it doesn't reflect Christ. And that was my stance. I recorded this podcast once before now, and I felt convicted in the middle of talking about music because I realized that I was not reflecting Christ with the way I used music. I'm a college athlete and I'm a male. And so naturally, we engage with a lot of rock and rap music. Mostly for me, it's rap music. I'm a huge Christian rap fan, in case you've never listened to a podcast ever. I'm a massive Christian rap fan. I consider myself to be an expert. I humbly consider myself to be a Christian rap expert. Just quiz me and I'll blow your mind. But I really like rap music. Always have. I think guys that are rappers are super talented. Some of the stuff that goes into the production and creation of rap music, I don't think people give credit. I believe people think instrumentals and lyrics just happen overnight and that anybody could do it. And I'm here to tell you that you can't. That there's a tremendous amount of talent that goes into making rap music. Now, some guys, you know, mumble rappers are, those kind of rappers. I mean, I'm not going to call that overwhelming talent. You know, Lil Pump's not that good, but generally speaking, it takes a lot of talent to be a music artist in general. I was fascinated by rap music and its complexity, but sorry, I just fangirled right there. About 25 minutes ago, I would have told you that here's what I do. I listen to everything mainstream enough to give an informed opinion so that I can have conversations about it. And in a lot of ways, I don't amend that worldview, but let me try and explain this to you as best I can. Here's the issue I see with secular music in general. Is listening to something that is not intended to talk about Christ or not made by someone who's a Christian inherently sinful? The short answer to that is no. But that's under the assumption that everything that falls under the umbrella of secular music is the same, in which we know it's not. Because there is secular music such as, you know, Taylor Swift circa 2010 or whatever, whenever she was 16 and making, you know, You Belong With Me or whatever. Not a Taylor Swift fan, so I don't care. There's a huge difference in, you know, T-Swizzle 2011 than there is in like, I don't know, like Iron Maiden or Slipknot. Like, those are completely different things. And so, objectively speaking, is listening to secular music sinful? I do not believe so. But here's where you draw your line. What is the litmus test that I keep telling you to give everything you do? Could I share the gospel doing this, and or does this reflect Christ? If the answer to that is no, then chances are you should not do it. I personally don't think there are a lot of things that are neutral when it comes to that point, but music, I think, is one of those things that is neutral. Because here's kind of how I see it. I've got a friend on the team who's an unbeliever, and I would like to share the gospel with him. Naturally, you can't just walk up after practice while we're, you know, taking our pads off and stuff and say, hey man, John 3:16, like that's corny, it'll get a bad response, and if you think that's the way to go, I'm here to tell you, I'm a college athlete, that's not how you share the gospel with somebody after practice. But something that's bridged a lot of gaps for me trying to be a Christian in football culture has been the conversation about music. Because I can find a lot of level playing field with people based on music. We can have conversations where I can give an informed opinion about Gunna. I can give an informed opinion about Culture 2. And we can start a conversation. And then I can segue into, well, yeah, I've heard that, but have you heard Lecrae? Yeah, I've heard that, but have you heard of No Big Deal? Like, let me share this music with you. And I've gotten people to get on board with Christian rap music. And I've been able to almost essentially share the gospel by having some knowledge of secular music. Now, I told you that my opinion changed in the last like 30 minutes, and here's how my opinion changed. I will still continue to, let me explain this. When something new comes out that's secular, that's mainstream, that's going to get a lot of airtime, typically I will listen to it or I'll sample it or something just so I can know what it sounds like. And so I can hear, first off, because I respect talent. Talent is talent. Art is art. But also listen to things so that when someone comes up to me and starts a conversation, you know, I can be like, yeah, you know, I listened to such and such, and it was pretty good. You know, I really liked, you know, this one song or that one song. And I do that. It's been a huge opportunity for me to share Christ with, especially, you know, my football teammates. But here's where I draw the line, and here's where I have not personally drawn the line for myself, and here's the gray area that I'm talking about. When secular music and the ideas that are in certain types of secular music and certain songs and from certain artists start to creep into your thought pattern, that's when it's an issue. When sin starts to crack open the door, that's when you got to get out. I have not been very hard-lined or hard-nosed on myself keeping those things away and keeping that music out. Just the other day, I was scrolling through my Apple Music, just kind of trying to find something to listen to while I was sitting waiting on a class to start. And I realized I had a song in there that I should not have on my phone. I downloaded it one time to ride home just to see what it sounded like because everyone was talking about it. And the song's kind of filthy. And so filthy as in bad, not as in good. Filthy as in bad. And so I deleted it. But it just kind of got me thinking over the last, 48 hours or so, how did I want to approach this topic? Because it's super important to a lot of us. If you can't use something to share the gospel or reflect Christ, you should not do it. That's my stance, and that will continue to be my stance on virtually everything. But, A, you can't really escape music all the time. You know, I can't help when we play NBA Youngboy in the locker room, you know, because the speaker plays out loud and I'm in there. But I think today I've made the decision to probably back away from dabbling in secular music, you know. I'm still kind of praying through that and thinking about it. But, I mean, let's be honest. Could you sit there and listen to Lil Yachty and, you know, say, yeah, let me share the gospel with you? I don't know. That's tough. There's a lot of guys in Christian rap music that listen to and endorse secular artists. From their perspective, I think that's different because they engage in the same craft as those guys. They just have different content. So I can see where their respect for talent comes into play and where that's important to them. But personally, I think where I'm at as a Christian, me personally, this is Cooper talking, and I think I could root this in scripture, but this is Cooper talking. I don't know how listening to secular rap music could reflect Christ. And so that's something I'm kind of working through right now. So I don't want you to take what I'm saying as, you know, absolute, you know, Bible breathing, bleeding, you know, fact. But I don't think there's anything inherently sinful about secular music. I think it's what you're actually specifically listening to. I think it's all circumstantial because the issue with sin is not ever really the sin. It's actually the intention to sin. You know, we were talking to a guy in our Bible study last night. He's been struggling with some things, and really the root of the problem is not him actually engaging in the action, which I've done before plenty of times, but it's actually the root of the thoughts that are causing the actual action. And that's where the issue lies. You know, do I think talking to my roommate, like, say, hey, you know, hey man, what you listening to, gives me a song by, you know, Playboi Carti, and I look it up and listen to it, I don't necessarily find that to be sinful, because I'm just kind of informing myself on what it sounds like. But I think the moment you start to spend a little more time dabbling in things like secular music than you should, I think that's going to be a problem, because there's no zero denying that music has an impact on your thoughts and takes over your thought space over time. And if you want to disagree with me on that, then let's have a conversation after this gets posted, because I find that to be true. So let me go ahead and recap what I've said, because it's been a lot of information. Music has an enormous impact. But what does the Bible say about music? Well, the Bible uses music almost always in the context of worship, and for a Christian, everything is worship. You have to keep that in mind. God doesn't care about genres, he cares about content. For all the old heads who are like, you know, rap music's of the devil, well, that's completely false. God doesn't care about genres, he cares about content. There's no logical reason to say that listening to secular music is inherently in and of itself sinful, but I think more often than not, you can't reflect Christ by listening to secular music. I'm today publicly, by way of this podcast, making the commitment to try and stay away from secular music as much as possible, because it's not good for my thoughts. Will I still continue to sample mainstream stuff and try to find the clean versions of it? I think I will, because that's a huge part of my witness opportunity as a college athlete, to be able to share, you know, what I know about church and music with other people, is being able to join a conversation about guys, because I can give an opinion on what I think about them. You know, you lose major social credibility in terms of trying to share Christ with anybody when you come into a conversation and you have nothing to offer. If they're talking about, you know, J. Cole, and I don't even know how to spell that, then that's kind of an issue. But on the flip side of that, for me to dabble in and overall just endorse, you know, music that does not glorify Christ is not a reflection of Christ and not a reflection of who I am in Christ. So I'm today committing the willpower and the prayer to kind of back it off of that a little bit. That's going to be, you know, part of my goal moving forward. And so, you know, we're pretty close to the end of the culture series. I don't have a ton more to do, but, you know, we're gonna get fired up about it and keep on going. So that concludes the end of this podcast. Your CHH song of the episode, which this EP came out a couple weeks ago, is the song Every Time by Social Club Misfits. Phenomenal song. That's a really good EP. It came out a few weeks ago. It's called Mood, period. M-O-O-D, period. It's a really good song, really good lyrics. And Social Club, just, I've been a fan for a long time, and if this even makes any sense, they've actually gotten more spiritual as their careers have gone on. Like, when I first ever listened to them, they were kind of in that weird kind of middle ground. But I'm telling you what, man, lately, these last, you know, 4 or 5 years, man, they're just really killing it in the spiritual content game. Huge fan. And I will continue to support those guys until, you know, whatever. Good song. That's Every Time by Social Club Misfits. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I'll reimburse you for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CalfChrist. You can check us out at CalfChrist.com. We're also now on Spotify. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Watch what you're listening to. And remember, don't worry about it. The battle is already won. 50 songs. Outie.